This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
Bless the Lord. Do you want to just go to Romans chapter 13 with me, please? Lord, as we open your word together, I pray, open our hearts, open our eyes. Lord, do to us what you did to the disciples on the road to Emmaus. Lord, open their hearts, open their understanding. Lord, we don't want to be slow of heart to believe all that you have done, all that is written and all that you have accomplished. Lord, open our eyes, open the eyes of our understanding. Give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. It's all about you. Lord, let our eyes be lifted up from our own wretchedness, Lord. We want to see you. We fix our eyes upon you, the author and the finisher of our faith. You started the work. Lord, you will continue the work and you will complete the work because we are your workmanship. We are created in Christ Jesus for good works that you've already planned ahead of time that we should walk in them. Thank you that you are at work in us, both to will and to do of your good pleasure. So as we open your word, Lord, I thank you that the entrance of your word brings light, it brings salvation, it brings deliverance. Lord, you spoke the word and it was done. And I pray, speak the word into every one of our lives today. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen. Romans 13, and I want to read from verse 11 to 14, but just before we do, verse 9, I just want to preface it all by this. He says, for the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. Well, that covers everything. And if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. Now, verse 11 is where I want to start. And do this. Do what? Love one another, love our neighbour, love God with all of our heart and love our neighbour as ourselves. Do this, knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armour of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Hallelujah. Put in your notice seats there a couple of scriptures and a note, top on it says, wake up and get dressed. My mind goes back 50 years, nearly. Can I come to that old time energize? I'll fit right in. I don't have to change or wear anything fancy. I'm all set up. Praise God. But I'm young at heart. But I remember nearly 50 years ago, Mum, you'll know this, down the bottom of Knowles Lane, my dad's house. My dad built that house, and it was a two-story, had a really steep roof. My dad had some wise advice for me. He said, if you're going to build a house, make sure you've got a steep roof, because you can always put a room in the roof. So he did that, I did that, my house, put room in the roof. And so he did that. Five brothers were all upstairs in the upper room. We were all close to God. Isn't that right, Stephen? About as far away from God as you can get. Anyway, five brothers upstairs in the roof rooms. And I remember this, that my mum and dad five boys, you know, we've got to go to school. Get up! Wake up! Yeah, I'm up. Liars. I'm up. And my other brother, was it Peter or Johnny? I can't remember now which one it was. He was even cluey. He'd reach out of bed with his fist and thump on the floor. I'm up, making out that he's jumped out of bed. You know, so he thought he could con a few more minutes more to lay in bed. But what we had to do, we had to get up so we could get dressed, so we could have our breakfast, so we could race up the top of the lane, Knowles Lane, so we could catch the bus, so that we get to school. And I just remember, many times running to the bus, and with five brothers, it's almost like a relay, you know. If one's out of front, they can stop the bus, and you go wait for the other four that are dragging their heels. They said, hold on, my brother's yet to come, and we're running for the bus to get on the bus to get to school. And anyway, I had to get up. I had to get dressed because I had to go to school. It was a time for learning. I put on my uniform for learning. I put on my school uniform because it was a time to learn. But when I grew up, I became a man, I still had to get up in the morning. I had to get dressed and I had to get my breakfast and I had to go to work. And sometimes, you know, we all feel that it's hard to get up, especially on a cold morning. It's hard to get up because that bed is so comfortable, so warm. But I had to get up because there was work to do. I was thinking about this. Only God started speaking to me about the church. There's been a tremendous time, amen, of God waking us up. Doesn't the scripture say this? Didn't he say to Israel this? Every morning I sent the prophets. And what they were saying to all Israel is, wake up, listen to what God's saying to you. Listen to what God's saying. Listen to what God's saying to you. And isn't that what church is all about? We gather again, there's an excitement when we first go to, I remember the excitement first going to school. Well, that soon wore off for me. And then it was all about, how can I wag school? How can I miss the bus so I didn't have to go to school? The novelty wore off very quickly for me. I remember my teacher, when I was in the classroom, you know, looking at me and said, David, uh-oh, I'm sprung again because my eyes were looking out the window. He says, David, you're dreaming of your love far away. They had class, those old teachers. They give you the smack, but they had class. Dreaming of your love far away. He used to ham it up, you know, so I was more embarrassed about what everybody thought about me because he's carrying on. He says, David, I can see you're going to be a pilot. I can see you on the side of the road, piling it over here, then piling it over there. It's pretty close. But there's a time to wake up, you know, there's a time when God is teaching the church. Moses talked about it, let your teaching fall like the dew. There's, you know, the term, we talk about the early and the latter rain. Well, the early rain is, it comes down softly. It's like a gentle rain. It's like dew. And it's the word of the Lord that comes to us gently and softly. But there's coming a time that if we don't listen to that word, if we don't pay attention to what he's saying, hasn't God been saying this over the speakers that have been talking over the last few weeks? Isn't God speaking to us? But I'm aware that just as there was a time as a school boy, I had to put on my uniform to go to school to learn. We did that. We do that in church. We come and we hear teaching and we can all talk about, oh, I like the way that teacher says it because he's got such a great ministry. Well, basically, they're all saying the same thing. It's all this word. And, you know, whether, you know, we're tickled by the way they say it or whether they say it in the most boring monotone, it is still the Word of God, which is alive and it is powerful and it is sharper than any two-edged sword. There is no creature that's hidden from the sight of God. And this Word exposes every heart exactly where we're at. And so that time for the church is there. And there's the, and here's the tragedy. We've grown up. He said, by this time, you should be teachers of the Word yourself, but you have need that somebody teach you again the first principles. We're never going to go on to perfection until we know the first principles and start applying them, living them in our life. You know, the early church, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, teaching. And what that meant is they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in prayer, in fellowship, in communion. Those things are incredibly important. Communion is all about us coming together, encouraging, admonishing one another in the Lord and saying, okay, you've heard the word of the Lord. Are you doing it? Husbands, are you applying the word of God in your marriage? Wives, are you applying the word of God in your marriage? Fathers, to your children. Children, are you hearing today what God is saying to us by his Spirit? And so God has been speaking to us. And then there comes that time when we grow up, we should be grown up, where we should be putting on not our school uniform anymore, but we should be putting on our work clothes. Remember, we are his workmanship, created for good works that he has already prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. In other words, it's not works that we come up with. It's finding out what God's will is for our life. The Bible says, don't be ignorant concerning what God's will is. How many are still searching for what their work is? Well, first of all, you find it in the body. You find your giftings. You find it as you relate to people. And see what the devil has done. He's torn the church apart. He causes people to be offended in churches. They go somewhere else. And then you've got to go through the whole routine again of somebody else getting to know you so that they can then impart into your life. How important is it today? We're in a time when there's workers needed. Workers are needed. We're in the 11th hour. You know that parable Jesus gave? We talked about a landowner had a vineyard and he went out in the first hour and he found people said, will you work in my vineyard? And they said, yes, we'll work. And he agreed to give them a penny day and different times, midday, he went out again and found others. And then in the afternoon, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he found others and said, will you work in my vineyard? And then at the last hour, he found people who were still not working. They hadn't got up. They hadn't put on, got dressed and put on their work clothes, said, I'm ready for work. In the last hour, he found people who were standing idle. And he says, why are you standing idle? He says, no one has hired us. And God is looking for, I believe we're in the last hour. We've got to do the works of God while there is still daylight. The night is coming. Do you know there's a prophetic word in Isaiah, I think it's 20, 21 or 26, where there's a scripture that says the watchman, and a watchman, the guys that stand at on their towers at night and they're to watch out for enemies and they call the hour of the night. And the guy says, calls out to the watchman, says, basically, what time is it? And the watchman answers this way and he says, the day is coming and also the night. Do you know this? We're right at that time when the day is coming and also the night. In Thessalonians, it says, we are children of the light. We're children of the day. We are not of night. So that the day of the Lord that's going to come as a thief in the night will not come as a thief in the night to Christians. Why? Because we're not of the night. But it will come as a thief in the night to those who are still asleep. That's why there's such a call today saying, wake up. It's a time to work. There's only 1 hour left to work. And our work is to see people saved. It's do all that we can to see people saved. Now, I want to just talk about this getting dressed. You put on. You know what it says? We read in Romans 13, it says there, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. What is that? Well, in Ephesians, it tells you what that is. It's not just bad things. Works of darkness, the Bible says that we were all children of wrath, that we were by nature children of wrath. We did whatever we wanted to do. We were controlled by the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we were by nature children of wrath, even as all the others. He says, but now in Christ, we've been made alive in Christ. And it tells us to cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Isn't it interesting? It uses that word armor. Because when I was thinking about child, put on my school uniform, go to school, grew up as a man, I had to put on my work clothes and go to work. But you know, in the church, we've got to do something else. We've got to not only put on our work clothes, but we've got to put on our armor. We've got to put on clothing for warfare. Nehemiah talks about this. You know, Nehemiah, when they're building the wall around Jerusalem, they have such opposition. They had an incredible work to do. But while that work was going on, the enemy was attacking them. And they literally had to work with a trowel in one hand, if you like, a work tool for construction in one hand, and a sword or a weapon in the other hand. And they had to be not only clothed for work, but they had to be clothed for warfare as well at the same time. And I believe that's what we have to do. Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. That is the reality of the age that we're in. If you don't realize that, I would suggest that you're probably still asleep. I'm talking about a reality that God wants to show us, because when we know something is real, we'll act accordingly to that reality. It says, let us walk properly as in the day, and then lists all those things we're not to walk on. But here's the thing about being clothed. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. That is an absolutely astounding and staggering comment. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for the flesh. Put on, get clothed. Do you realize what God wants to clothe us with? Himself. You're the one that has to get dressed. I'm the one that has to get dressed. Isn't it the church in Revelation which is told she made herself ready as the bride? She made herself ready. When is a bride ready? Somebody tell me. When is a bride ready for the marriage? When she's got on her garments. In your notice sheet, if you've got it there, grab it. Isaiah 52 says, awake, awake, put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For the uncircumcised and the unclean shall no longer come to you. Shake yourself from the dust. Arise, sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose yourself from the bonds of your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. Awake, awake, put on your strength. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't he our strength? I was pacing around my house the other day and said, God, Jesus, you're my rock. You're my fortress. You're my strong tower. You're my righteousness. You're my peace. You're my deliverer. You're my rock. You're my stronghold. Hallelujah. You're my provider. Started to declare all that he was and is to me. Declare it. Start to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Often we're crying, we heard it from Karen, we're crying out for God to do something and he's already done it. He has already provided it. But we have to wake up. We have to get out of bed. Don't thump the floor like my brother did. Make a show, a pretense that you're up. It was really, I want to go back to sleep again. And look, we all know that our flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. Something in my spirit is waking up. Something in my spirit is waking up. And it's the word of God. It's alive and it's powerful. It's light that penetrates darkness and tells us it's time, it's high time that we should awake from sleep. And there's something we've got to do. We've got to get up, arise, shake the dust off yourself, shake the lies of this world. What is dust? The Bible tells us what dust is. It's all the things of this world, all the things of this earth. It's dust. And what does the devil feed on? The serpent, he was cursed, said, on dust you shall eat. So if we're going to just be clothed with dust, well, who's going to have a field day with you? I tell you what the devil is. Get up, get washed. This word will wash you. It will cleanse you. Didn't Jesus say to the disciples, you are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you? What is this word? It's all about Jesus Christ and what he has done. I want to say, can you repeat this with me? When he died, I died. When he rose, I rose. We are raised up together and made to sit together with him in the heavenly places. That is the scripture. You shall know the truth, Jesus said. If you continue in my word, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. We've got to continue in it. Not just hear it once and you know, just, oh, what was that? And then go back to sleep again. No, it's got to be applied in our lives. We've got to get out of that bed. Didn't Jesus come to his disciples in that hour? You know, I talk about the last hour. Wasn't it the last hour that Jesus is in Gethsemane and he's in an agony of soul? So much of an agony, he was dying, had to be kept alive so he could get to the cross. An agony. And he said to his disciples, stay and watch with me. What did they do? Just like me, just like every single one of us, we go to sleep. We go to sleep because they were weary. They, you know, they'd just been through opposition. I mean, they had the glory days with Jesus when all the crowd wanted him. But at this time, he's being rejected. He's being refused. He is not the flavor of the month anymore. Everybody's talking about him, that he's deceiving the people. Everybody's in two minds about him at this stage. And he comes and he finds them asleep because they were sorrowful. And how many of us can be sorrowful? I was quoting the other day in my house and I was yelling it out. I was hoping nobody was looking in the windows. I was yelling this out. And it was one of the verses from John Wesley's hymn, And Can It Be? Incredible. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Saviour's blood? Died he for me who caused his pain and bled for Adam's helpless race? When we were helpless, he died for us. He paid the price. But the verse I was quoting was, long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke and the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, went forth, and I followed thee. Hallelujah. Powerful words. But unless we apply them, they're just words. We've got to get up, wake up, wake one another up. Look, I'm going to finish here. Wake one another up. This is what prayer, start challenging. Of course, your flesh is not going to want to pray. It's not going to want to do it. But we're in the last hour where we need to hear today what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Do you know that God saves the best for last? Doesn't all the parables say that? When they ran out of wine, it seemed. Think about it. When they ran out of wine, it seemed, and all they were going to be left with was the dregs, the rubbish, Jesus produced the best wine. We are in a marriage celebration. The church is his bride. Well, it started out marvelously. It's not going to finish with diminished glory. You know, what we need to do is to get up, look in the mirror and see what you really are. It is no longer I who lives, but it's Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I am a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That is the truth. That is the reality of the day and hour that you and I are living in. And as we look in the mirror, the Bible says, but we all, with unveiled face, if you're asleep, your face is veiled and you cannot see. You've got to wake up, get the veil, get the covers off, get the blankets off. Get up, look in the mirror, and we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed from glory to glory by the Spirit of God. As we look into his word, that's real. Not just looking into it, I have done my duty today, but looking into it intently with all of our hearts. He has begun a good work in us and he wants to complete it. I want to, just to finish now, and I want to open up anybody who wants prayer, and I'll close so people need and can go out. But if you're staying in, please pray. I want you to cast off every lie of the devil. I want you to cast off oppression, cast off fear, because God has not given. That's a done deal word. It is finished. It's a done deal word. He has not given us the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. I want you to cast off defeat. I want you to cast off heaviness. You know, Scripture talks about putting on these royal robes, because the glory of the latter house is going to be greater than the glory of the former one. That's God's promise, and he's going to do it because he's the one that promised. And it says we see it in his word. We're living in the greatest time. There's two things coming, darkness and day. Which one do you want to be involved in? I want to be involved in the day, so that the book of Revelation to me doesn't become all about what the devil's doing. I don't care what the devil's going to do. Jesus Christ, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's a revelation of his glory and the manifestation of his glory in all the earth, which he's going to do through you. He's going to do it through you. He's going to do it through you. Each one of us, he's going to manifest his glory. In fact, this whole world is groaning, says in Romans 8. It's waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And that is work that he's promised to do in us. Let's all stand up. If you want prayer, you can come up for prayer. We're going to close now. If you need catch up with people, please have a coffee or tea with us afterwards and I'll join you out there. But if you're staying in, please pray for those who need prayer. When he died, I died. When he rose, I rose. That did it all. That did it all. All past stuff it dealt with, all old stuff it dealt with, all the lies of the devil it dealt with. When he died, I died. When he rose, I rose. That's the victory. That's the victory. Not us trying to achieve what we never could. He's already achieved it. Father, I thank you. Thank you, Lord. This is the day that you have made. And while it's still called today, Lord, we're going to hear your voice and say yes with all of our hearts. We're going to jump out of bed, Lord. We're going to stand before you and be clothed with the royal robes that you provide. Put on the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Cast off every work of darkness. And Lord, stand before you, fully clothed. Stand before you, fully prepared, because you have done it all for us. We declare today that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. You are our strength, you are our glory, and you are the lifter of our head. Thank you for this day. It's a day that you have made. It's a day of salvation. It's a day of victory. It's a day of walking together with you. Lord, I pray for everybody's faith, Lord, to be encouraged today, and that as a people we will speak often to one another, rebuke, encourage, exhort, do all those things so that, Lord, the work that you've called us to do individually and corporately will be done in this place, and that you might be glorified, souls might be saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Pray it. Amen.
Thanks for listening, and please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.